Welcome to Monkey Pigeons. We are on episode 5, Mr. Smith. How do you feel about that?
Fantastic, actually. Episode 5. I love how you kind of remember the episodes. I have no idea. Episode 5. You know, episode 1, 2, 3. Yeah, okay. But 5. Great stuff. How are you?
I am good. Looking forward to hearing the albums that we have this week. So, it's The Killers with Hot Fuzz.
Fuzz. Yeah, I said Hot Fuzz last
Not
week.
Not to be confused with the film.
No.
The exactly. Simon Pegg film. Now that throws you off. Yeah. And when was that album released?
2004. Hot Fuzz was 2007.
Great film, though, if you fancy Great watching film. That at the weekend. And I will be talking about The Strokes and the album. I just forgotten the name of the album now. Was it First Impressions of Earth? I believe it was First Impressions of Earth album. It's their third studio album. And I think that was 2006, that album. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, 2006, yeah. Because they had, what, two albums before, 2001, 2003, just missing the threshold, so yeah.
Just missing our threshold of 2004, 2007. But, spoiler alert, if this goes well, there could be a prequel, and there could be a sequel, as I keep saying to you on the WhatsApp chat. But for now, I think it was, I mean, just to give you a little alluding to why we chose The Strokes' third album, because it's in the time frame, obviously, but it was actually quite a good revisit for me, because it's the least, so I love The Strokes a lot, but it was the one that I listened to probably the least, because Strokes, I think the first album was an era-defining album, I would say. Second one I was very, very excited about, but I think I still lived at home. It was prior to going to university when that came out, or when I was at university. And then the First Impressions of Earth album, I'd finished university. I was very, very excited about The Strokes coming with another new album. And then they also headlined a tour in Europe around that time as well, which I went to see them for the first time ever. So it was very good to revisit this era for me, I think, for the Strokes in particular, because I told you why I chose this Strokes album, because I've been listening to the new album that just came out this year. And it got me a bit thirsty for early days Strokes. So I was quite enjoying this album, just as a little prelude to what's going to happen.
What a prelude. The
Strokes, too much of a prelude? More of a lewd?
No, I think that was a good prelude.
Is there such a thing as a post-lewd?
No, it's nice to have the enthusiasm around that album, particularly being a third album. And I think looking back at the time, because there's about a good three years kind of gap, and the whole kind of indie scene had really kind of blown up, and the hype around a new Strokes album was massive at the time, and the expectations were humongous.
Yeah, because they were kind of seen as the godfathers of that indie scene, I think, from the Is This It album, from when they came around with their first album. And because there were all these new pretenders on the scene in 2004, 2005, when The Strokes were coming out with this 2006 album, I think people were thought, okay, well, The Strokes are going to show you who's boss in this time.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice prelude, like I say, but we're starting with The Killers.
Yep, we are. So let's go into Hot Fuzz. Mr. Smith, what does this album mean to you? Because this is a huge album, and I think everyone has memories attached to this album. But for you, you chose this album. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, so I chose The Killers. I think it's nice to kind of bring The Killers into the fold of, you know, this whole kind of pod, because I think, yes, they are probably the closest poppy type band, mainly because, well, the definition of pop is popular. You know, they're the biggest, one of the biggest bands out there, and still are. All right, they've kind of gone in and out in recent years, but yeah, that opening album of 2004, it's amazing how kind of big they got, particularly in the UK, in such a short space of time. And I don't think I know anyone that didn't really have that album. around that time. And, even in, CDs, a lot of people were like downloading and stuff. I had the proper CD in my car, and as I said a few weeks back, I kind of got it stuck in my CD player, so it got in loop. And I, by the end of that year, 2004, I absolutely hated the album, but really, some great songs, and I really enjoyed coming back to this week and falling back in love with the Killers.
All right, Mr. Smith, I'm very keen to hear your banger choice on this Killers album, Hot Foot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a tough one. I don't envy this choice for you of the banger track. No. I think you're going to upset people, whatever you choose, or you're going to make some people happy. But you can't win with this one.
No, you can't. You can't.
What's your thought process this week?
I was hoping, when it's a crossover, I was kind of like looking for, to Rose for inspiration, but even she couldn't help me. She kept just jumping around to everything I was playing, so that didn't help. But that showed that they're all legitimate bangers.
Also, she liked, so your two-year-old daughter test, all the songs passed your two-year-old daughter
test.
Yeah,
so, she liked, so I was playing like Hot Fuzz, I was playing Out Loud earlier today, and first five tracks, her attention was maintained. She's even attempting to dance to songs that I wouldn't even think you could dance to, but I think Smile Like You Mean It, all the things that I'd done, she found a beat to it, and she was kind of like even dancing to those. But they're not my short list for bangers, but just an example. But I think for me, I don't know, I mean,
can so I take a guess?
No.
Okay.
Well, you can, but
let me know when I can take a guess.
At the end you can take a guess.
Okay.
All right, good. And I'll just correct you or incorrect you. Right. So, in terms of banger, and I suppose the reasoning behind banger is like, one, you want to get people on the dance floor, and I suppose I've got it shortlisted down to two that will guarantee that, and the other is if you play a karaoke. Despite how poor you are at singing, which I am a very poor singer, can you still get away with it by shouting and knowing that people will sing along to drown out your shouting?
Well, that one is obvious. If you've gone for that choice, because this is the one that I know you do on karaoke all the time, which is Mr. Brightside.
Oh, but is it?
You always do that one on karaoke.
Well, not always, because my best received karaoke songs has been the other song.
Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll.
No, not Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll. Oh, that reminds me, actually. I should have opened the segment singing that aloud, but there you go. But I was going to do like a Brian Denning rendition of it. I ruined it. But what I was going to say was, I think like I was always... I didn't even like doing karaoke. I was always kind of like took a step back when people were doing it. But I think we did it in like a really kind of empty bar one night in Cheshire. And like some guy was getting up every night and everyone's moaning because he was always the same guy singing the same tunes. And I was like, God, mate, you are rubbish. He's like, well, can you do any better? I went, oh, and knowing that I've never really done karaoke, I've only done like rubbish songs that I didn't even know. And that, I suppose that's the difference, is that you can do karaoke, do a song that you know, one that you love, and you don't really need to read the
one that's
words.
A crowd pleaser, right? You need crowd a crowd pleaser.
So
is this all leading up to your banger choice, or are you just telling us about how you do karaoke?
It had a point, but I keep getting interrupted. But I suppose the point is, and I suppose that was somebody told me. And that was the decision. So somebody told me between Mr. Brightside, and later on I decided Mr. Brightside is probably the more go-to track, and it's crossed all kind of bridges in terms of genres, and where I've gone to, I always know that's going to kick off on the dance floor. And I suppose, cutting a long story short, what would your guess be for my banger track?
I think you will go for Mr. Brightside by The Killers, because you can't go away from the fact that that is the main banger, and it is your favorite song on there, and it's the one that you prefer to do on karaoke. So I think you are a traditionalist. You can't turn your back on the fans on this one.
I think the reality is that I think if you ask me for a definition of banger, Mr. Brightside would be my definition of banger. Whether it's my favorite track, that's a story for after we play the song.
I think it's a good choice. I think you had to go there. It's a tough one. It's a bit too, you know, it's very, I don't know, people, it's just so overplayed.
Let the fans decide.
It's so overplayed, but let's all just enjoy a bit of Mr. Brightside.
Who's overplaying it? That's the question.
Us, right now. Here it is, Mr. Brightside. Mr. Smith, Mr. Brightside, what a choice. I was dancing around my little cupboard where I'm stood.
The recording studio.
The recording studio, yeah, let's call it that. And it was joyous. Even though, you know, I've heard it a million times, I still enjoy it every time.
I was on and on about it, but like when you give that dedicated listen, I think... One is it's good, you know, as part of the album, but on its own, out of nowhere, I think it's got such an impact, that song, particularly with the sound turned up to 11, which it was inadvertently because I was trying to like hear your mic before, and what a song, you know, it sounded so good, and so I'm not disappointed by it. I mean, I could have chosen any other. I say first five tracks, you know, maybe not all bangers, but certainly, you know, as we're going into like favorite song, those first five songs are just epic. And it was difficult for me to look past those, for what would be my choice. Maybe the last track, Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll.
Look, I mean, you could have chosen something cooler. You could have scored some brownie points with some cool kids, but let's face it. You enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I think everyone out there enjoyed it. And everyone could debate it till the cows come home. But I think that's the banger.
I think if you put it to a poll of bangers, that would be the ultimate banger.
But that leads to the question, what is your favourite song?
And that was a tricky one. Because, I mean, like you say, I mean, Mr. Brightside... Yeah, it's been a go-to track. Maybe, you know, I don't know whether it's the favourite song on the album. And the good thing is that you can kind of refresh your thoughts on these things, listening to the album back to back. And, you know, and as part of the review for this pod, I get that album a good couple of listens, you know, maybe even three or four times. And each time I kept changing my mind. You know, I really like the closing, and you got to make sure when you're listening to Spotify for this album is that you don't pick the wrong version of the album where you got like there's one version on there that's got three songs at the end of like remixes of like three of the other songs that are already on the album, and for whatever reason they don't have Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll as the last song. They've got it like on track seven, so it's completely odd. So yeah, so you got to find the right version. But if you find the right version, that finishing closing of Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll, absolutely love
it.
It's a great
album
sing along. Yeah, and I thought, oh god, I I'd love to just play that, or, you know, but, and then, yeah, I like, Smile Like You Mean It. I mean, we've already talked about Somebody Told Me, Mr. Brightside, but I think my favourite song, this is, you know, what I'm going to go for, and I guess through process of elimination, do you think you know favourite track?
Ooh, that's I wasn't really thinking, but you just said a few different ones, so it's not going to be those ones that you said.
No.
I think you've probably gone for, what you didn't say was All These Things That I've Done. I think you might go for that.
And it is All These Things That I've Done.
Yes, here we go. All These Things That I've Done. Great choice, Mr. Smith. How do you feel about those two choices? You chose, I have to say, you chose the two, to me, the most obvious tracks on Hot Fuss. That doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. I'm not having a dig, because they are the ones that I would have chosen as well. But
I think, who are the obvious two? That's the thing. I mean, like, Mr. Brightside, okay, that's an obvious choice. But I don't know. I think, like, there's lots of songs that, you know, I think they hit people in different ways. And can't please everyone, Steve, but you can certainly please yourself. And that's what I did there.
Very good. Very, very good. Any final words on the Killers? Any stories you would like to share about the Killers?
I don't know. I'm like trying to give insight. I don't know. And like, they had a big impact on my facial hair in 2007. You know, the second album that came out.
Why? Brandon Flowers. What way?
Yeah, he had that mustache, didn't he?
Oh, yes.
I donned the mustache for a few months. One or two weekends after pounding, and then it's pre Movember era. It was early day. It was really kind of ahead of his time, Brandon Flowers. Before Movember, he was donning that mustache. Tell you what, it made it look very cool. I didn't, but there you go. And like, I suppose live gigs. I mean, first time I saw them, and I suppose we refer to that Reading Festival, but I did see the Killers during that festival, and you know, just before the Foo Fighters. And I tell you what, that was a hell of a warm up on that like Saturday, and I think that these were like the band that were playing, you know, as the lights are going down, and it's a classic scenario. Like, if you're gonna have All These Things That I've Done at that point, that's just stays with you. And I was saying, like, even my daughter was jumping up and down. You don't realise, but when it kicks in, there's a good opportunity to have a good bounce there. And, I certainly did on that night. So, great. Anyway, in summary, Killers, great band. Maybe you can't really refer to them as indie anymore, but as we look back and living in that era, certainly in 2004, they're a proper indie. I think they made it big in the UK before they ever made it big in the US.
Yeah, that's
still
true,
bigger
actually,
than the UK. And I still look back in the fun land. You know, they're a good go-to band. I think if you're looking for a banger on a night or house party, just look up these tracks. There we go. That would have been told me next time I karaoke. Might do you good.
I think that would have been one band I would have thought would have stuck around and done some good albums to follow, but really, Sam's Town was the only... there was a few good songs on... They did an album that had some collaboration with Lou Reed, I think, which had a few good songs on it. But apart from that, what are they doing around... Have they done anything in the recent times? Do you know?
I think they have. They have. I mean... And yeah, I think they've had a bit of a resurgence in the last 2 or 3 years. And yeah, I mean, God, 2010, you know, there's the Brendan Flowers, he brought out his only solo album. So after that second album, I think they did kind of have a bit of a infighting. I don't know the ins and outs, so don't quote me on this or record me. Oh, well, you are, because it's in a pod. But I don't know. I think it's because the first album is so good, and it's that kind of crossover, you know, certain bands, and I hate to say them out loud, but, you know, Oasis felt that as well, didn't they? You know, they had the first couple of albums, fantastic, and then, you know, how do you live up to that? I mean, I wouldn't say they're similar. I suppose that's where the similarities kind of die, but it's a similar thing. I think, you know, you have that first album, and everyone just kind of has that expectation, but, you know, you have your whole life to record the first album, don't you?
I think the first two Oasis albums were a lot better, though.
Well, then Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Stop the recording. You've gone silent.
Stop the recording. Stop the pod.
All right, it's a good time to switch over to the Strokes, I think.
Yeah, yeah, good idea.
Before we break this podcast, so you want to basically the Strokes, 2006, First Impressions of Earth. Yeah, I enjoyed it, as I said. Go on.
And I tried to listen to this album, the Strokes, and I think like my one note. I don't want to ruin everything, but my one note is Jukebox.
And I think it's a good note. It's a good note because I have to say I tried to when I put this album on this week, I really was like, oh great, this is amazing. You Only Live Once came on, and
great opener. You Only Live Once.
A great opener, and it's quintessential Strokes as well. Like I was really looking forward to listening to the Strokes again. And when you put that song on, it's like, some people think they're always right. All right. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, and the way it goes into the album, it just feels like quintessential Strokes. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Yes, I'm into this. And actually, as the album passes by, you think, wow, really good songs on this album. Then it starts going to kind of track 6, track 7. All good songs, but you starts to wash over you then, right?
I was the same, and I was like, have I properly listened to this album? And I got to the point, it's like, where did I get up to? Because I don't think I finished it. So it's like track 8, track 9. Oh, I've listened to that. And then it's like, oh, I have listened to it. Okay. But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird one because there's 14 tracks on the album. 14! And so when you get to about track 7, you're kind of bored, and it carries on. And track 8 and 9 are very good. Electricity Scape, Killing Lies. But I tried to listen to it about 4 times, and every time I got to that those points, and even I started to listen to it starting from those points to listen to the second half of the album, and it just kept washing over me, and it didn't really stick with me. Even though if you listen to those songs on their own, they're kind of good. Like you might look on my, I shared the list this week on Twitter, but the songs I've had on repeat in the last couple of weeks. And a couple of those later tracks are on my repeat list because I was trying to listen to them again and again and again to get a good impression of them. But let's be honest, it was an overly long album, and it was, and
how long
the first
is that album? How long is it?
Well, I think it's 52 minutes. So not as long as Block Party's album from last week, but still a long album.
It's weird, isn't it? But that long.
It could have been 35 minutes. I think they could have stopped it at track 10. Perfect. It would have been really nice, but probably because it had been a good few years since they released an album, and they probably wanted to put all the songs on and make everyone happy. And probably the drummer wrote a song, and they thought, okay, let's stick that on track 11. And then
to that Foo Fighters album, aren't you? Double album.
Exactly. And then the tambourinist wrote a song, and they're like, okay, John, yeah, you've helped us become millionaires. Let's let John have a song
on
this album.
I really like that drummer song, though.
That one's okay with the Foo Fighters, but yeah, we don't
digressing, though, Steve, but I mean, let's cut back to the itinerary. What's the banger track?
Juicebox!
Play.
But it's not that easy. Standing in the light field, waiting for some action. No, but why won't you come over here?
There it was, Juicebox by The Strokes from the First Impressions of Earth album, track 2. Mr. Smith, what do you think about the banger choice?
Excellent choice. I think it was the go-to track for me. I had it, in bold on my notepad. And Strokes of this era, what a song. And I don't know, maybe it's a too big of a song. And I was kind of like wondering what would be your favourite song of this album as well. It's not kind of... Go on.
Actually, my favourite song was quite easy, because Juicebox isn't my favourite song on this album, even though I like Juicebox. But actually, when this album came out, to give you a little story as an interlude to build up to this. When this album came out, I travelled across to Nottingham. I was in Stoke-on-Trent at university in Staffordshire, and I travelled across to Nottingham with my then girlfriend to watch The Strokes at the Nottingham Arena, big arena tour they were doing in England. And actually, The Rakes were supporting, a good band we could possibly do 1 week. And I really wanted to go to see The Rakes, because I love The Strokes, but I also love The Rakes at the time. And I thought, wow, two of my favorite bands at this time there. So let's definitely get tickets for that. And I went with one of our friends and his girlfriend, and we traveled together. And then my then girlfriend got a bit of like fear from the big crowd and didn't want to go in, so we were basically stood at the back of this huge arena all night, and I never got to see them. And also, because of the traffic, we were late, so we missed the Rakes. I believe I was a little bit drunk, so I need to double check that with our friend. But it was quite a funny evening all in all. And then we stayed at a friend's house who lived in Nottingham. It was a very good time. But like, to see The Strokes, I mean, from very, very far away, was pretty cool back then. But I was very annoyed about missing The Rakes. Yeah.
What a story.
Thank you.
It's kind of brought back to mind, though, that looking back at gigs, it's like Strokes are a big band, and you're like, oh, well, all right, I'll go and watch The Strokes. But then you're looking at the who's in support, and you're almost like, oh yeah, I'm only going because The Rakes are playing.
Well, I was back then, I only exclusively went to very small venues, and it was always good fun, right? Like, we always used to go to these very small venues where we lived, And there was a huge amount of great bands that came through. But we always said, well, if they go to there are sellouts if they're in arenas, because if they're in the small venues, then they're going to be, it's going to be more fun. They come up and coming, and then you can say, wow, I saw them in this tiny venue. It was a bit, you know, it's a bit kind of hipstery, like to say, oh yeah, but we you knew awesome. If we went to our local venue, we knew that, you know, one of those bands would be quite big at some point, and then you've seen them in this tiny venue, and it was intimate.
Yeah, you want to get them before they hit the big time, don't you? And that's part of the fun, isn't it? You know, getting them on that first tour before the first album really
They still have the hunger then, right? Yeah. So they're really trying, because, you know, the Strokes come there. Yes, they're enjoying being playing in England to 20,000 people or something. But, you know, it's if you catch them in a small venue, imagine the intensity that must have felt, or how good that must have felt to see the Strokes when they were in a room of 100 people trying to get their careers off the ground. Now, that stuff is what you want to see.
Yeah, and I think there's only so many bands that can make that step up to that kind of stadium level. Maybe it's, you know, real big arena or stadium level to kind of hold the majority of the crowd and everyone feel it. You know, in a small venue, you know, you're guaranteed to get one, you've got more chance of filling it up, but you've always got people there that are dedicated and really want to be there. And and it sounds better and everything. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right. So I can tell you what my favorite track is, and this is one that I still sing today, and it is still one that sticks with me all this after all this time for the last 14 years. It's Heart in a Cage. It's track number 3, the one that follows Juicebox, and here it is. Ready to play, Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Go.
There we go, Heart in a Cage, track 3 on the First Impressions of Earth album. I think this pod, we've gone for the obvious choices, but I'm good with that. How do you feel, Mr. Smith?
Well, it's only obvious to you, Steve. I wouldn't expect Heart in a Cage. I mean, I was just trying to remind, as we were kind of listening to that, and I wouldn't say it's my pick, but then, no, I would have gone straight for Jukebox, but that's not the point, is it? But I was just listening, and maybe if I was choosing another song, it'd be Ask Me Anything. I quite like.
It's a good song, yeah. It is a good song. I think Heart in a Cage is one that's always stuck with me, and I think in particular, I still sing these lyrics. It's part of like the second verse on that album, on that song, but it's like it goes, "I don't want what you want. I don't feel what you feel. See, I'm stuck in a city, but I belong in a field." And it always sticks with me, those lyrics, and I think the songwriting in this song is really, really good. I mean, the Strokes songs in general are very good songwriting, but that is one that's always, it's a lyric line that always stuck with me for since this song came out.
No, I think that's nice to hear, actually. And, you know, it's nice that, one, it's not just how that song kind of hits you from, you know, without kind of getting too absorbed in the lyrics, but by getting into it and actually listening to what he's trying to say, you're getting a lot out of it. And yeah, you know, I don't think I got to that stage with the album at all. So yeah, it's nice to kind of get that perspective on it, to be honest.
Good. Well, I'm glad to enlighten you, Mr. Smith. Should we choose our album for next week?
Yeah, we can do. I mean, have you got one in mind?
You know what comes to mind, actually, for me right now? The first one that comes to mind is Jamie T, Panic Prevention.
Oh, really?
I've been wanting to re-listen to that album for quite a while, and I haven't done it because I've been thinking, well, I'll save it for the pod. And I used to really love this album. It was 2007 album, and Jamie T was this just, I think he was a guy from London. I think he recorded this album in his bedroom. He was suffering from epileptic fits, I believe. Sorry, Jamie, if you weren't. But really, really good album. I think I just remember it being amazing back in the day. I would love to re-listen. I haven't listened to it at all in recent years. So that jumps out to me.
All right.
But there are also a few more that jump out. Like, should I say more, or would you like to kind of say a couple that you...
No, well, I'll just come out with my suggestion then. And I think maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't, but I was going to listen to it anyway, was The Cribs and The New Fellas.
Yes, I was going to say I wanted to listen. The Cribs would be my other choice. So I think matching Jamie T with The Cribs could be a good choice because they're both quite upbeat albums.
Yeah, and I mean, I just looked up on Spotify, you know, when it puts in similar artists, and Cribs are right there, so I think it fits in nicely. And I think it's we're recording this on Thursday night, and it's part of the Tim Burgess listening thing that he's doing on Spotify.
Which one is The Cribs?
Yeah, The Cribs.
Ah, I mean, New Fellas
is part. I think it's just started. So as soon as it finishes, I'll stick it on.
Ah, perfect. Because that was a big era defining. Well, for not era defining, but for us, it was our era defining because we used to listen to The Cribs a lot back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. 2005 album. I think this is like really when we're our pomp in terms of indiness. And I think. Tell you what, now I'm looking forward to listening to this back because, it's been a few years since I listened to it. And
I'll give this one a listen as well because I haven't listened to this in a while and that will bring back some serious memories, The Cribs. All right, so where can people find us if they want to contact us, Mr. Smith?
So we are on Twitter. So we're Monkey Pigeons Pod on mute. I can't even remember the handle, Steve. You're best doing these things.
It's at Monkey Pigeons PD. On Twitter. I'm not sure why you didn't go for Monkey Pigeons Pod on Twitter, like the Gmail, which is monkeypigeonspod@gmail.com if you want to email us. Oh, and if you've got all the way to this far, go to Apple, give us a 5-star rating. Hey, if you give us a 5-star rating and then you put what album you would like us to listen to and talk about, then we'll definitely consider it. But you have to go and give us a 5-star rating on there, and then it helps other people to find the pod as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really helpful, Steve, because I mean, I got sun cream in my eyes again today. This sunny weather. And like by 10 o'clock at night, I can't see. So, I can't. I get distracted.
If it's sunny weather there in the UK as well, I mean, there's nothing better than walking around your garden with your headphones in, listening to a podcast that has a bit of music in there as well and talks about good bands. I mean, that's fun. You don't want to listen to the horrible.
I mean,
listen to terrible news.
No. Listen back to previous episodes. As Steve said at the beginning, episode 5. But I think what we ask is give the albums a listen yourself. Reach out to us on Twitter, and we'll have a nice little chat.
We've had a few people reach out to us this week on Twitter, and it's been lovely engaging with people that are enjoying the pods and enjoying the music. So that's what we're all about. So do it yourselves, and hopefully we'll speak to you very soon.
Yeah, see you next week. Oh, what's our closing track, or is it a surprise?
Oh, we didn't choose one. Oh, I would probably go for one off the Killers album.
right.
Which one did you really want to include, but you didn't? I tell you what we should include. One of these interactions that we've had on Twitter, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was saying that Jenny Was a Friend of Mine is his favorite track. Should we do that, or should we do the last track that you were referring to quite a lot on the Killers album?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to do the, you know, the song for the guy that you can't remember his name, the poor guy. But
sorry, he wears an Arsenal shirt on Twitter.
Let's do Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll.
I think I can't remember his name because I'm a Man United fan, so I'm not interested in Arsenal fans. But
he had the means of getting the internet and like a moment's notice and just looking up his name, maybe giving him a shout out. But no, maybe that's next week.
Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll. Yeah. Let's go for that one. That's a good one. Good choice. Okay, so if you give us a 5-star rating, Arsenal shirt wearing guy, then and put your choice in the rating of album, then we'll be playing one of your favorite tracks very soon.